If you have your Bibles, let's turn to Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. We are going to focus here for a couple moments in our study this afternoon. Galatians chapter 6, verses 11 through 15. Now, as you know, we are studying for the next couple weeks on the subject, returning to the cross. Someone say, returning to the cross. We are going on a deep dive into the purpose and the power of the cross. Very important that we understand what took place at the cross and what it produced. What it produced. Now, sinners don't understand the cross because if they did, they would run to the cross. They don't understand the cross because if they did, they would run to the cross. A lot of believers don't appreciate the cross because if they did appreciate the cross, they would live differently. Some of us don't understand the cross. Some of us don't appreciate the cross. And that's why I'm calling us as a church and even a generation to return back to the cross. I'm calling us to return to the cross. And we're taking a deep dive into this purpose and this power of the cross. And a couple of things I want to remind us about this morning is that the cross is not just a historical event that happened 2,000 years ago, but the cross is a powerful truth that we are to walk in today. The cross is a powerful truth that we are to walk in today. And understanding the power of the cross will set you free. Understanding the power of the cross will empower you. Understanding the power of the cross will help you to be all that God has called you to do. It will set you deep free from fear. It'll set you free from intimidation. When you understand what Jesus accomplished for you on the cross. 1 Corinthians 1:18 is our memory verse. I hope you're memorizing this verse because you're going to get a test real soon. But it says, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. It is the power of God. It's the power of God. Now remember, when I say the cross, I'm not just referring to two wooden beams that are nailed together. When I say the cross, I'm not referring to a piece of jewelry. When I say the cross, I'm referring to all that Jesus suffered and accomplished on the cross of Calvary. I'm referring to all that Jesus accomplished on the cross. Something significant and powerful spiritually happened on the cross that is more powerful than any virus that can hit this world. I want us to learn a couple things about the cross this morning, and we're going to turn to Galatians chapter 6, verse 11. If you're able, I want to invite us to stand up for the reading of God's word. If you're able, let us stand to our feet. Galatians chapter 6, when everybody's there, say amen. It reads like this. See with what large letters I have written to you with my own hand. As many as desire to make a good showing in the flesh, these would compel you to be circumcised, only that they may not suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. Someone say cross of Christ. For not even those who are circumcised keep the law, but they desire to have you circumcised that they may boast in your flesh. But God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. I can't wait to teach that next Sunday. It is not what you think it means. It means something else. He said, by whom the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision or uncircumcision availeth anything but a new creation. Someone say new creation. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you for your word this morning. And we turn to it for strength and power. We turn to your word for faith and encouragement. As we teach it, feed us, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Two primary things that I want us to learn today about the cross of Jesus Christ. Two primary things, and we're not going to be long, but I do want you to get this into your spirit because I'm here to arm you for this week. I want to arm you for this week. Number one, the cross provides our new identity. The cross provides our new identity. Notice what the apostle says in verse 15. He says, for in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision avails anything, but a new creation. Someone say new creation. Now, if you were here with us last week, I talked extensively about religion, and I talked about how religion is negative, how religion is obedience to God's expectation, yet apart from God. We learned that the term circumcision does not refer to exclusively to the medical procedure, but it is a word that symbolizes religion. It is a word that symbolizes religious commitment. So what we need to understand today, my brothers and sisters, is that when we fall in that religious spirit, when we operate in religion, which is negative, religious growth is measured by religious activity. Religious growth is measured by religious activity, and that is not good. So when we seek to measure religious growth, what people do is they say, I do this, I do that, I do this, and I do that. And the more you do, the better you feel. That's religious growth, which is not good. Spiritual growth is measured by how much you allow the new person to rule you. Did you catch that? Spiritual growth, the growth that matters is measured by how much you allow the new person to rule your life. Doesn't matter how religious you are, if you are not being managed by that new person, it means nothing. Doesn't matter how many boxes you check off. I did this good thing. I did that good thing. It does not matter if you're not walking in your new identity in Christ Jesus. Some of us need to be reminded that there's a new ID waiting for you at the foot of the cross. There's a new ID you need to pick up. That's what Paul's referring to. He says, what counts is whether we have been transformed into a new creation. That's what counts. That's all that matters. You can be serving all day long and never be transformed. The cross provides our new identity. When Christ died on the cross, our old selves died with him. You remember that old self, don't you? I ain't got to tell you about him, do I? Y'all remember him or her? That one that used to lie, that one used to be impatient, that one that used to backbite, that one that used to cheat, that one that maybe used to be a fornicator or a hustler or a partier. You remember that old person? Don't make me talk about him. The moment you surrender to Jesus, I want to remind you, your old self was nailed to that cross of Calvary. The moment you surrender to Jesus, that old self was nailed to the cross. The Bible speaks about this over and over again. I'm going to put it up on the screen. Galatians 2:20 says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. Some of us need to memorize this. Some of us need to understand that the moment we surrender to the Lord Jesus Christ, that old nature was hung up on the cross. We are supposed to be living in the new creation, but that process is a battle. You were saved instantaneously, but that transformation is going to be a process, and you're going to find yourself battling between the old and the new, the old and the new, the old and the new. And every time that old self tries to pop up, some of y'all need to memorize this verse and say, no, 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 I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. When I first started serving the Lord, I was facing that battle just like everybody else. Just because you get saved don't mean your attitude got saved. Just because you got saved doesn't mean your impatience got saved. So at the moment I got saved, there became a battle inside of me between the new ID and the old ID. And I had to memorize this verse. Every time that old man tried to step out, I said, no, 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 I've been crucified with Christ. This is how you step into your new person. This is how you pick up your new ID. No, 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 I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. That's how you step into your new ID. Romans 6:6, for we know that our old self was crucified with him. Now listen to this, my brothers and sisters. Your old self was crucified spiritually the moment you surrendered to the Lord Jesus Christ, but it must be lived out experientially every single day. Must be lived out experientially every single day. Every single day you must put on the new self. Every day you must put on the new self. Colossians 3:10 says, put on your new nature and be renewed as you learn to know your Creator and become like Him. Notice what He says. Put on your new nature. Put it on. Put it on. Put it on. Don't leave home without your ID. Put it on. Notice it doesn't say God's going to do it for you, because God's not going to do it for you. He did it for you in your salvation. Now you got to live it out day by day. You got to put on the new nature. Every time you try to get attitude, put on the new nature. Walking in our new identity means that we are going to resist the spirit of fear. How do we walk in our new identity? One of it means that we're going to resist the spirit of fear. All of us, every single one of us, at some point last week or this week, we have been bombarded by the spirit of fear. All of us. And it's not going to be over yet. We're living in a new world now. But thank God that people of God have an advantage. And it's called the power of the cross. And every time the spirit of fear tries to come upon you, you need to fight back and put on your new self. How do you do that? It's by stepping into the Word, professing the Word, confessing the Word. I want to read to you just a couple verses, and I'm doing this as a spiritual procedure because I'm here to help you. I'm here to strengthen you and arm you for this week. So just listen. Just listen to these couple verses as it relates to fear. I'm gonna arm you. Isaiah 35 verse 4 says, "Say to those with fearful hearts, be strong, do not fear. Your God will come. He will come with vengeance, with divine retribution. He will come to save you." Wow. Be strong, do not fear. John chapter 14 verse 27 is not just for funerals, it's for us today. Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid." I love that. He says, "I'm not treating you like the world treats you. I'm giving you something more powerful than the world. I'm giving you something you could stand on and walk in. And it's called the peace of Jesus." He said, "Peace I leave with you." Joshua 1:9. God says, Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. That's a bullet right there. That's a bullet. Somebody need to put that in their chamber for this week, because I guarantee you're going to have to shoot that thing. Have I not commanded you? Be strong. Notice that. It's not a suggestion. He ain't saying, "I want you to vote on this." He said, "No, I'm telling you." And the reason why I'm telling you is because I know what I gave you. I know what's inside of you. I know what you got. You may not know what you got, but God knows what you got. And so He says, "I'm commanding you. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever." That means at Walmart. That means at Sam's Club. Wherever you go. That means at Costco too. Some of y'all, when you go to Costco, you need to break out in a worship service. Just flip the devil out. Thank you, Lord. It's very fascinating to me that one day Jesus had a meeting with Peter, and He turns around and He tells Peter, he says, Simon, the devil has asked to sift you as wheat. I find that very fascinating, because Satan was asking for Simon and not Peter. Simon, Simon, Satan has asked for you to sift you as wheat. What's interesting about that is that Jesus had already changed Simon's name to Peter. Jesus had already given him a new ID. Jesus had already given him a new identity. But when the devil came around, He didn't ask for Peter. He asked for Simon. Don't ever let your old self fight your new battles. Never let your old self fight your new battles. You need to rise up in the power of your new identity that flows from the cross of Jesus Christ. Amen. The cross provides our new identity. And we live this out day by day. I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet Christ lives inside of me. Number two, and this is the last main reflection for us. is that the cross demands a new relation to the world. The cross demands a new relation to the world. Look at what the apostle says in verse 14. He says, the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. The world has been crucified to me and I to the world. What does that word world mean? It does not mean the physical world that we think about, but this word world, it refers to the godless systems and the ways of the world. This word is talking about the ways of the world, the systems of the world. So when we use in our vocabulary the world of politics or the world of education, we're not talking about a physical place. We're talking about the ways of politics or the ways of education. When you study the Bible, you'll learn that the Bible gives bodacious statements against the world. The Bible gives bodacious statements against the world. Notice what it says in James chapter 4, verse 14. I'm going to put it up on an enemy of God. That's a powerful statement. That's bodacious right there. If you want to be a friend of the world, you make yourself an enemy of God. It's not talking about the people of the world. It's talking about the ways of the world. It's talking about the godless systems of the world. Why does God warn us so tough about the world? Why does God give us such a warning about the world? You know why? The world is the agent of the kingdom of darkness. The world is the agent of the kingdom of darkness. You gotta watch out who you're listening to. Yes, God can use Facebook, but the devil can use it too. And if all you're listening to is Facebook, you're going to be curled up in a ball somewhere, buckled down by fear. Anybody picking on what I'm putting down? Jesus called the devil the prince of the paladin of the air. He called him the prince of this world. And the devil uses the world to distract us and defeat us. We got to be careful. Be careful what you listen to, particularly right now. And let me suggest to you, my brothers and sisters, don't wake up and turn on Facebook. Don't wake up and even turn on the news. Wake up and turn on some worship music. Wake up and open your Bible. Believe me, the news is going to get to you. The devil always finds out how to get to you. You could be on a stranded island with no electricity, and he will get the news to you. So we got to be intentional. Wake up and worship. Wake up and read your Bible. Feed your spirit. I urge you, particularly for these next 2 weeks, because it's not over yet. Why does God warn us so much about the world? You know why? Because the world is always trying to kick Jesus out. The world is always trying to kick Jesus out. What's fascinating to me is that, generally speaking, the world doesn't mind religion, but it just don't like Jesus. Generally speaking, the world don't mind religion. It just don't like Jesus. I remember several years ago, the LA County Supervisor Board invited me to pray at their meeting. Said, well, I want you to come and pray. I want to pray over our meeting, pray over our business. Just don't mention the name of Jesus. The world is always trying to kick out Jesus. How many know the world needs Jesus? How many know the world is in desperate need of Jesus? And let me tell you something. This virus may have started off by the devil, but we're praying that God gets a hold of it and he's going to turn it around, and people are going to run to the house of the Lord. People are going to run to the name of God for a refuge. It's already happening. So about eight people surrendered at our Carson campus. One guy came up to me right here today. You know what he said? He said, Brian, I feel bad that I'm coming now that all this is happening, but I just had to come. I said, brother, don't feel bad. Don't feel bad. Just thank God that you came. Just thank God that you came, because the name of the Lord is a refuge for all those who call upon him. What does Paul mean when he says the world has been crucified to me? What does he mean by that? Well, one of the things he means is that the world has no more claim on me. The world has no more claim on me. I'm not going with the flow of the world no more. I'm not condoning sin anymore. I'm not liking what everyone else likes anymore. It's called crucifixion. That's why Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ. That is not a pretty little word. That is torture. That hurts. The cross is in opposition to the world. The cross produces tension in our relationships. That's why Paul says in verse 12, he says that some are not picking up their cross because they don't want to be persecuted. They're not picking up their cross because they don't want to be persecuted. They don't want to be singled out. They don't want to be mocked. They don't want to experience the tension of the cross. Many people want the crown, but they don't want the cross. They want the crown, but they don't want the cross. The cross is offensive to the world. It's offensive. Paul said in Galatians 5:11, he talks about the offense of the cross. He talks about the offense of the cross. And I want to suggest to us this morning, my brothers and sisters, if you're a follower of Jesus Christ and you're not feeling the tension of the cross every now and then you're probably not being transformed. If you're not feeling the tension of the cross every now and then you are probably not being transformed, because tension produces transformation. You can't just jump to transformation. You got to go through the tension, my brother. What tension or offense am I referring to? What am I talking about tension or offense? Well, you don't fit in your old circles no more. You don't fit in. You try, you just don't fit in. There's tension in your relationships. You don't feel right doing what you used to do anymore. There's tension in that. You don't feel right doing what you used to do. What do I mean by the tension or the offense of the cross? Well, at times you'll be finding yourself disagreeing with your family members. At times you'll find yourself in opposition of your family members, because the cross is opposition, or the cross has an offense upon people. Even well-meaning Christians. I told you the story many years ago about when I got out of prison. I took my wife on a date to a movie, and we sat down in the movie, and the movie started off with cussing, and they wouldn't stop cussing. And eventually my wife said, "Man, we got to go out of here." And I said, "What do you mean we got to go? It's going to stop." And the brother didn't stop. He continued to cuss. And my wife got up and left me in the theater. That is tension right there. That's the offense of the cross between husband and wife. 2 minutes later, I got up and acted like I had to use the restroom. If you have never wrestled with the offense of the cross, my brothers and sisters, then I want to suggest to you, you're not doing this Christianity right. If you've never wrestled, you got to be able to accept and embrace the offense of the cross. Even right now, as we are open today, there is tension upon us to shut the church down. We're feeling the tension, right? Feeling the tension. Right now, we're open because we believe the church needs to be a refuge. Needs to be a refuge. Matthew 10:38, Jesus said, "Whoever does not take up their cross and follow me is not worthy of me." To carry the cross means to bear the reproach of Jesus. To carry the cross means to be mocked like Jesus. To carry the cross means to stand up for your Christian values. Why do so many Christians not live a victorious lifestyle? Why do so many Christians live a defeated lifestyle? You know, let me give you one suggestion. One reason is because they pick up their cross in the moment of salvation, but soon afterwards they exchange the cross for something of the world. They pick it up in the moment of salvation, but it's not too long after that where they exchange it for something of the world. Some of us exchange it for temporary pleasure. Some of us exchange it for the affirmation of the world. Some of us exchange it for things or money, but we pick it up initially and eventually we put it down. My prayer for us, my brothers and sisters, is may we live out that old hymn. Oh, what the old folks used to sing, what they taught us, when they said, "The cross before us, the world behind us, no turning back, no turning back." The cross before us, the world behind us, no turning back, no turning back. May we live that hymn out. May we walk in our new identity. And may we embrace our new relation to the world as we pick up our cross for the kingdom of God. Let us bow our heads in the presence of the Lord. With every head bowed and every eye closed, just as the worship team comes back up, just for a couple moments, let us just reflect upon the word of the Lord. Just for a couple moments, as everybody remains seated in the presence of the Lord, what was it that God was trying to get across to you? What was he saying to you? With every head bowed and every eye closed. Maybe there's someone in the house of the Lord today that needs to get right with God. Maybe you feel that God has been calling you. Today you want to make the decision to surrender to Him. I want you to think about that for a second. Do you need to get right with God? Do you need to repent from your sins and turn to Jesus today? Because in a moment, I'm going to give an opportunity to pray with you. If there's anybody in the house today that feels or knows that they need to get right with God, they need to repent from their sins and surrender to Jesus Christ. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Whether you need to do it for the first time or rededicate your life to the Lord, I would like an opportunity to pray with you. If that is you this morning, I want to encourage you as an act of faith just to stand up on your feet. I'm going to pray with you right where you're at. If there's anybody who needs to surrender to Jesus Christ, stand to your feet right where you're at. I see you. Anyone else, you need to surrender to Jesus, stand to your feet as an act of faith, and I will pray with you. God is calling you. God is calling you. For those who stood up, I want to ask that you just say this prayer with me from your heart. Mean it from your heart. Today is a new day for you. Today you're going to pick up your new ID. Say this prayer with me. Lord God, I am sorry. Please forgive me. I have sinned against you. Today, I turn from my sins and I turn back to you. I surrender to you, Lord Jesus. I believe that you died on the cross for me. I believe that you rose from the grave on the third day to set me free. Help me to follow after you. Help me to serve you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. Let's give the Lord a hand praise. If you surrender to the Lord today, I want to encourage you to take your next step. By the way, the angels are rejoicing in heaven. The Bible teaches everybody who surrenders to the Lord, the angels are rejoicing. But I want to encourage you to take your next step. Serving the Lord is about steps. And your next step includes reading your Bible, praying, and also coming back and serving the Lord together with your brothers and sisters. You're not called to live your Christian life by yourself. You're called to worship in community. So I want to give you just some direction on what to do now that you picked up your new ID. Amen. Someone praise the Lord with me. Okay,